Welcome back to the Focus on Linux podcast, and we're here at the second day of SUSECon 24 here in Berlin. And I'm thrilled to have Maximilian on site. And we are both thrilled, I think, to talk about SUSE Manager with Don Vosberg.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. And we are also thrilled to talk to Miguel Perez Colino.
Hello.
So, second day SUSECon, how did you like it?
Well, the first day of SUSECon, I spent, when I landed, I came and did not yet have a hotel room.
Oh, really?
And fell asleep in the lobby, only to have the security guard awaken me and tell me it was inappropriate to be sleeping in their lobby. Okay. But after that, things got a lot better.
So that's great.
So actually, we have a SUSE Manager booth. We have a couple of booths that in the technology showcase that are featuring SUSE Manager. So just being able to interact with customers around that and hear the questions and be able to show them directly the product and have people come that don't have any experience at all with SUSE Manager. It's a wide variety, but it's just fantastic for us in product management to have that direct feedback from both partners and customers. It's just been priceless part of it. I know I've had to spend some of my time in preparation for presenting and demos and stuff, but the time with customers is just the best.
Which leads me to the next question that I forgot to tell you to go ahead and introduce yourself. So you already spoiled that you are part of the product management team.
Yeah, I'm so. Don Vosberg. I'm a product manager, but I'm really a technical product manager. So I dive deep into the details, and Miguel likes to refer to me as customer zero.
That's nice wording.
He tries everything before anyone else.
We said it was going to work, so I've got to try it.
Definitely.
And almost always it's like, okay, this is a bug, or I ask engineering, should I file a bug on this, or do you already know about it? And a lot of the time they already know, but sometimes I end up filing bugs to try to get the product in better shape before it even gets close, right? So we're in SUSE Manager 5 is at release candidate stage, so it's getting closer to release. But my role is also as ambassador, so I kind of do a lot of presenting and formulating demos and those kinds of things. So that's how I spend a lot of my time.
Great. So Miguel, why don't you?
So it's important. I need to add one thing. Don is based in the U.S., Indiana. So he's our link to the U.S. and everything that's happening there. He's taking care of it. So he has plenty of customers to talk to, and especially in there that we are very popular in retail. So he has like very good connections there, and he's always with customers. We always try to be as close to customers as possible. And now, yes, I introduce myself.
Yeah. Who are you?
So my name is Miguel Perez Colino. I'm being referred lately as the SUMA guy in SUSE because of SUSE Manager SUMA, you know. So I'm referred as the SUMA guy. So I'm taking care of product management and engineering around SUMA and whatever is needed. So there we go. So I also try to be as close to customers as possible. So it's very common that I'm doing some product management tasks role, and also I'm taking care of whatever customer escalation comes, pricing changes, anything that is related to the product that is normally out of boundaries comes in my desk.
And talking to some of the decision makers internally in SUSE.
Yeah.
And I will say that Miguel has been tremendous at helping promote SUSE across the portfolio with other teams at SUSE.
Yeah, I've been promoting SUSE is probably my task number one, you know, because we need to connect it very well with the company. I think it is a really good product, and it has a lot of potential to interact with other products, to be like a component of other products. And we have had some success this year in this direction. So yeah, there's a couple of stories I could share about that.
And I mean, it's one of the most crucial parts or projects of SUSE, right? So I mean, SLES is the basic operating system for a lot of products. And if you have multiple instances of SLES or other Linux distributions, you really want to have patch management. So going SLES without going SUSE Manager, isn't that a good idea, isn't it?
There are customers that do that, of course. Okay, they figure it out some other way. But the customers that do it with SUSE Manager, they normally provide really good feedback, especially when it comes to patch management. It's the thing that in which we normally shine. So yeah, it's pretty good for that. And we want to have more customers trying it and going with it. This year, we have discovered, checking on the numbers, that there's quite an interesting number of customers that are using SUSE Manager without having SLES.
Oh, really?
Yes. So, okay. I mean, management for example, for Rocky Linux, for CentOS, for
Oracle Linux.
Yeah, Oracle Linux is also one of the ones that appears most frequently, that when they have Oracle Linux and something else because they have Oracle databases, they really like to have SUSE Manager because they can manage Oracle Linux and the others. So, yeah, it's...
I can approve that. One of my customers I'm working with recently is using Rancher as container platform, but still using VMware for virtualization, and is fully setting on Ubuntu, the LTS releases, and patching every system with SUSE Manager fully automated. So it's a great infrastructure, and it makes really fun to work with.
Thank you.
He wants to cry.
Stop it, please. You're going to make me cry.
I mean, it's basically the USP of SUSE Manager, isn't it? So there are other patch management tools for Linux, but SUSE Manager is the supported tool that you can get that manages all those Linux distributions, or one of the tools that manage every Linux distribution. So it's whenever we hear that people also have other things like SUSE, then we try to get them to use SUSE Manager.
Okay. It was a funny moment, right? Let me explain it. We're sitting on a hallway with access directly to the street, and we're listening to the traffic here in Berlin, which is...
And the fireworks.
And the fireworks. And then somebody came through and was like, okay, we had to stop
for a bit. It still does not get to the level of last year.
That's correct, but exactly. The look in his eyes was really, it was pure confusion. As
what is this?
I almost thought about standing up and interviewing him, but I think my German was not good enough.
Yeah, but I mean, the situation we had last year was pretty unique, I would say. So we were sitting on the street beach, and then we had... thunder and rain while AC/DC was playing in the background. And for today, every time we see you guys, we have thunder and rain. So like today, it's the same in Berlin, and we need to find another way to record this podcast.
Okay.
So let's talk about your experience on SUSECon so far. How did you like it, Miguel?
Well, I really enjoyed it. I didn't have any trouble with the plane.
You did not fall asleep at the Zuma booth?
No, I didn't have to sleep anywhere weird, okay. Which is not uncommon. But this time I was pretty lucky. We went on Monday very early to set up all the demos and everything. And I mean, we have it quite well prepared. So it was set up quite nicely, and we could start performing demos and testing everything very quickly. And then we had our own... talk about operations, how to improve operations, not just with SUSE Manager, but with the SUSE portfolio, including live patching and other beautiful things from SLES, from SUSE Linux Enterprise Server. And it was packed. I also attended a session on Liberty, and again, it was fully packed. And the funny thing is that they started discussing about Liberty there, and they started, how can we convert from... let's say CentOS to Liberty. And that was a fun story because, we have something at SUSE called Hack Week. You know it? It's a whole week in which everyone stops and you go hacking, okay? And when I joined about a year and a half ago, I was like, Hackwick, and what the hell is this? And I saw everybody hacking like crazy and leaving everything behind. It's like, uh-huh, I made a mistake, okay? So this year I didn't make the same mistake. And I say, okay, I'm going to clean up my calendar, everything cleaned, everything blocked for the Hackwick. And it's like, what am I going to do? So I have quite some experience with the Enterprise Linux for weird reasons. And, yeah, it's 10 years at Red Hat. That helps, you know. So I was like, oh, I can help with this. Yeah, I could help with this.
If you could check the author list from the Red Hat Enterprise Linux Administrator's Manual, you will find his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so funny thing is that I contacted some people in the team, and Ricardo, our architect, Ricardo Mateus, said, hey, I'm going to help you with this. Mm-hmm. So we started automating the whole process of converting from CentOS to SUSE Liberty with Salt for SUSE Manager. So we ended up that week, it's like Wednesday was already running. On Thursday, we tried it with everything we could. Alma Linux, Rocky Linux, Oracle
Linux.
Even
the unsupported.
Even the unsupported ones. You know, it's like, let's try it, you know. So we tried with the whole bunch of them. Like, okay, this is converting, okay. So on Friday, we recorded a demo and we showed it to the CTO. And he said, I want this demo for the sales kickoff. So we did the demo for the sales kickoff. It was pretty cool. People liked it a lot. And then they started promoting SUSE Manager with Liberty. And we have now a bundle. You can get them together. And it was a really fun story I really enjoyed it. So, and this time when we were there talking about Liberty and some questions were raised, the product manager knows me. He's like, Miguel, could you please answer these questions? So I had to stand up and go there and answer some questions. Was really good. So yeah, seeing all this interest in Liberty, in SUSE Linux Enterprise Server, in SUSE Manager, in our process, in what we build every day and we put our hearts and soul into it is very inspiring for us.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's a great opportunity to come here and talk to all those people, right? So that's my reason to go to SUSECon is not primarily watching the talks, because they will be recorded in the most cases anyway, and I can get the slides and so on, but talking to the people behind the project and ask dumb questions, get clever answers, and maybe have a look at the demos and try out things.
And these are things that it was very difficult during COVID to have that work. So having the in-person conferences gives you those opportunities for informal interactions. And a lot of that really sparks ideas. And maybe we could try this, or maybe a Hack Week idea like Miguel was talking about. So it's totally great.
Yeah, especially the feedback when you're talking directly to customers to, hey, can you improve this? Hey, I had this problem. How can we solve it? This conversation that only happens when you're seeing each other, when you're talking on the SUSE Manager booth or something. I think this is great to have it back.
So by the way, this year there's two engineers that managed to come from SUSE Manager team to SUSECon. So if you want to talk to them, they will be in the kiosk tomorrow. They are Cedric and Jan. So I really recommend you to go and talk to them, because they are doing many, many of the things that we use every day with SUSE Manager.
And I think one of the greatest things for me about being a product manager is actually knowing the people behind certain elements of the product. So Chan was one of the people who was behind the new feature we have for app streams parsing in SUSE Manager 5 for the EL distributions. He was one of the key persons behind that. And Cedric's been one of the key persons behind the containerization project for SUSE Manager. So kudos to those guys for their work, you know, and I try to tell them how much they're appreciated, because sometimes you're just working on bugs and you don't really get to see the context of how your output has impacted customers and how much of a difference you're really making.
Definitely. And I mean, those two features really have been a game changer. So having the full app stream support for modular repositories for enterprise like Linux distributions, that was really required, and it's so great to see it finally landed in the product.
Well, we made a promise, really, sort of foundationally in SUSE Manager, to be a multi-distribution tool, to not just simply be a SLES updater point tool. And if we're going to do Red Hat-ish things, we have to be able to manage Red Hat the way that it aligns with their included package management tool. And with that being DNF and the modular app streams things for 8 and 9, it created a gap that hopefully this will begin to really bridge and truly make us an equivalent or actually even a better systems management tool than they might obtain elsewhere.
Yeah. So speaking of SUSE Manager 5.0, I think we are right now in the beta phase. We also
Release candidate.
So now we are in the release candidate. So how has been the feedback so far? And how far are we when we can see the GA release?
The feedback so far has been really good. People were like, excuse me, how come this is containerized? What does it mean?
Yeah.
So what we explain is like, is one container running on top of Linux. In this case, we chose SLE Micro, which is a reduced Linux that is intended to run containers. And we're using Podman to run the container and systemd to start the container at boot. So it's very simple, and the intention is to keep it simple. And so that, I mean, one of our principles is the principle of least annoyance. We don't want to annoy users. So we have to think about how we do it so they are comfortable with the new situation. And we have added a couple of things with 5.0, the two tools that are Manager ADM, Manager CTL. So if you are running Kubernetes, you know Kube ADM, Kube CTL. Mm-hmm. Same philosophy. We are learning from people who are doing these great things. So Manager ADM is now the tool to deploy it, mm-hmm. although we're going to provide images. So you can save even more steps. One of the things we want to do is to reduce the time to production. When from the moment you start deploying until the moment you have systems registered and running. So this was one of the things, and Manager ADM is there also to upgrade, to update, to copy the data from 4.3 to 5.0, because we are changing the operating system. We cannot do an in-place upgrade. So we can copy all that data and many, many more administration tasks. And then Manager CTL is and coming from SUSE saying that it's green sounds, but it's a bit green. The tool is a bit green. But the intention is that it behaves like kubectl, that you install it on your laptop, you have your credentials in one file, and you just run the command and it connects to the API and does things. Right now, the main capability for ManagerCTL is that it can enter the container, and then you can run all the commands that you are used to, space walk, whatever, space cmd. So all the commands are there, so you can run them. So you can have an interactive terminal with ManagerCTL term, or you can run exec and be able to execute your commands. Just, I mean, if you have a script or something like that, you add this before it, and you're good to go.
Great. It totally makes sense, because after people having used systemd for quite some time, they know all those CTL commands, and some people also use Kubernetes, so it totally makes sense to have the same naming scheme. And it's way easier to pronounce than kubectl or kubectl, because you can ask three people and they have different opinions on how to pronounce it. And it's not that hard with kubectl.
Actually, those tools started out with the name Uyuni ADM and Uyuni CTL, which for non-Spanish speakers is a mouthful. So
yeah,
but it wasn't because of that that we changed the name. It was because we wanted to align it with... We've had some MGR prefixes to more recent additions to the command line for SUSE Manager anyway. So, and just to augment what Miguel was saying, is that it really masks some of the complexity behind Podman. So we're trying not to encourage people to do Podman exec and do Podman-ish things yet. And some of that may be intimidating for people to actually have to... We're not making them learn Podman. We're adapting those two tools, MGR ADM and MGR CTL, to be the primary interaction with that container.
And totally makes sense to have those prefixes, because We know that there are some comments that start with space, so we know that's pretty old and proven and stable stuff because it existed back then when we had Spacewalk. And now then we have MGR, so we know that's SUSE manager-related things, like having the SEC repositories.
MGR Sync, that was a tool that we still, I mean, it's still there in SUSE Manager 5.
Yeah, so we'll never see different names for old comments. They will stay SpaceCMD and so on.
No, the stuff is, I mean, but we did take a lot of the really old code out. So in SUSE Manager 5, you cannot use the old Spacewalk software clients.
Oh, yeah.
Finally. They do not work anymore. So you don't use RHN check. You don't use Jabber and OSAD. I always said whenever you're running OSAD, it just seems wrong that anyone would start a systemd system with sad in the name because you will be sad.
Definitely. Yes.
Did you have had customers that were still using or wanted to use those software?
We had a customer. So I'm one of the moderators of our Slack channel for discussing it with internal supporters that work directly with customers. And we had someone last week that was having trouble running JabberD and the OSA dispatcher, and no one from engineering answered his questions. So I got on there and I said, so these don't matter unless you're running a traditional client. Are you still running traditional clients? Yes. So we still have some people, and actually someone came up to me today at SUSEcon with asking how I convert from multiple activation keys and traditional client to salt minions. And
it's the last chance.
And running slash 10 or 9.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I mean, there are weird circumstances that we cannot even predict or think of. The customers, you know, and they have their own situations. Sometimes there are customers that end up with, again, it's less 10 running today. And it's like, yes, because A, B, C, and D. Well, that makes sense, you know. But same thing, there are customers that are keeping those things for an resource we
way
do not understand.
Longer out of support.
Yeah, but happens. So we have to adapt to that. So
And I mean, you really have long support cycles. So from my understanding, I heard today Sleeve 50 and SP7 will be supported with LTSS up to 2037. That's 1 year before the year 2038 bug, just to summarize it.
So I made some numbers. So if you are something like 52 today, you will be retired by when this goes end of life.
Yeah.
So,
in theory, there should be enough time.
Yeah.
In theory, yeah.
Indeed. Indeed. So, and we are releasing Service Pack 6. It's been released this week, I think.
I think yesterday or two days ago or something like that.
Yeah, it's been released already, so it's available. And, of course, it will be available in SUSE Manager to manage it as soon as we have our first maintenance update. So you can count on that, and we expect to have it available in 5.0, intended, and I say intended, to be released on July 15th.
Okay.
Okay.
Pretty soon.
Let's see if we can make it for the date, of course.
And so we had a beta program for customers leading up to the release of SUSE Manager, where we've had, I think, like a dozen customers approximately who have
initially
been
a dozen, then like four more that
we've had. Oh, other
are we still on time?
In.
Yes, come in.
Yeah, come on in.
Yes.
So, but you know, it's a commitment to have to provide feedback as part of that. But they started at beta 2, which was the final beta. So we only had two betas, and then we're currently at release candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final code, the GM code, is due at the end of this month. And then our first customer ship, as he said, is mid-July.
So speaking of the release candidate, I think Max, you had a look at it. So I tried out the first beta, and I also tried out the Uyuni container version. But how has your experience been so far?
My experience was pretty great. Also, especially for the installation part, it's a huge step into the future with the containerized image, with no bit dependencies into the operating system. You can use Podman and the pre-configured images. And instead of just using pretty complex but well-working scripts to install a bunch of stuff on the operating system, you just you pull the container image, you, the Podman scripts that you wrapped around is creating all the persistent volumes you need, and it just works. It's two commands instead of waiting 10 minutes for scripts you don't understand to install it. And it worked well before, but now it's even better. It's faster, it's easier, and especially for 5.0, where you can't migrate from a 4.3 into the new version, it's a pretty low-hanging fruit to just install and migrate.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really important to not annoy the user, as you mentioned, Miguel, and it's so easy to get it started. So you just need to run that script. You might need to enter your credentials for the SUSE container registry, and you're good to go. It takes a couple of minutes, and if everything works correctly, you have a working system. So yeah, that's and really easy.
And one of the things that we worked on for 5.0, and hopefully you'll see the fruits of that soon. For years, we have delivered images in hyperscalers for the SUSE Manager server. And then last fall, we started delivering images for SUSE Manager for 3. And our goal is to try to make the experience as common as possible. So whether you're in the public cloud, you're using an image, and when you're on premises, there will be images for both SUSE Manager server and storage. And to your point, it's even simpler than that, because the images will include the container image already downloaded. So you don't have to do anything to get the containers there in the image. And this is partly to be less annoying, as Miguel said, and to speed up the process for being ready to install, also to enable people to do it in an air-gapped environment, to be able to start up a SUSE Manager server or proxy in those situations. So we try to simplify how storage is attached to it at the same time, so the steps are greatly reduced to have an effective start.
And on the other side, I had I was part of the beta. I could participate, and I had one. It was a lab related problem to my lab I was trying to install. And on the one hand, I could fix it with two commands, and the fix was basically to throw everything away. One transactional update in the /micro beneath and install it from scratch new. And I think to reduce the complexity of the stack is pretty important for those cases. I think for the release candidate, this problem I run into is already fixed. So for the debugging purpose, for testing purpose, it was just nice.
I mean, the nature of SUSE Linux Enterprise Micro 5.5, which is the one that we're using, is that you have transactions, so you can roll back.
Yeah.
And that is, I mean, that provides a lot of flexibility. And as Don said, just for the record, we are providing QCOW2 images and VMDK images for people who are running on VMware. So you just get that VMDK image, you attach it to a new VM, you attach a secondary disk for the data, and in 3-4 steps, you're good to go.
Yeah, very much, very similar to the way you would do it in a hyperscaler, where you have the boot image storage and one big storage to mount for the rest of the real SUSE Manager function, and a simplified script to be able to create that mount point and make it persist.
That's another thing that I found really interesting, is that we really decoupled data and logic. So now all the data that SUSE Manager has to save is in one single directory. So you stop all the services, copy that directory, and then you can reveal another system in very little time, I would say minutes. Okay. Yeah. So that also enables us in the future to be able to do, for example, backup. So being able to backup automatically to a tar file, or even do have some kind of disaster recovery, have a second machine that is running that you move all the data to it, for example, every weekend or every night. So just in case you have a failure in one place, you can keep running on the secondary one. So these things are now possible. Well, they were possible before, but now they are doable.
Yeah.
Not just possible, but not doable, because it's something
they're doable without a consulting engagement.
Yeah, they're right. Doable without. Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. And pretty easy. So we're using Podman. So I think the directory you were talking about is
varlib containers storage.
Yeah. Storage. Exactly. Thanks. Yeah. Yes. And so just move it on the other machine and
go ahead.
Yeah. If you want to roll back, copy back, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have. We actually moved it all the way out. Our recommendation is varlib container storage volumes. Mm-hmm. Because if you mount it earlier than that in SLE Micro, it takes varlib container storage as an overlay. And it will get all tangled up in the Podman and operating system bits. By doing it this way, we can set SE Linux to be enforcing on the SLE micro box. So it's another level of security that we can allow SLE micro to be SLE micro and do what it does best. And we separate out the SUSE manager pieces.
Quite interesting. So with SUSE manager 5.0 being based on, let's say, Podman only technology for deployment, so it might be possible somewhere in the future to run it on a different operating system that also runs Podman?
Try it with a Uni. That's our recommendation.
It's possible, it is now. Yeah. You can run it. However, we do not support it because we haven't tested it. So we have to choose one operating system to test it, and we chose SLE Micro 5.5. 6.0 was not available then. So we have to go with 5.5 to run all the tests, and all the initial tests, and then all the tests that are left to be done. So that's why we say this is supported only on SLE Micro 5.5. However, if you go to Uni, you download the image yourself, and you just run it on any other system that has Podman, it should work. Okay, because everything is there, and so it should be very easy to set up. That enables, again, community members to try it on their system of operating system of choice. And to us, it also enables us to be able to run the same SUSE manager on different operating systems. So the only thing we need to do is to do the testing, run the testing process. And the more automated we have it, I mean, think about it, this is the first time we do it. So the automation is still in the early stages. Once we get enough maturity in the automation process to do the testing, we'll be able to have several operating systems as a choice for any version of SUSE Manager. So that is the idea.
So we can project Max running Uni as container deployment, or NixOS, or HANA Montana Linux.
Yeah, I would recommend HANA Montana Linux.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
I've tested the Uni one on Rocky 8 and Ubuntu 22.04. I mean, it does run, but like Miguel said, we had to pick our battles with support.
Makes
and
sense.
The second thing that's important to note also, with SUSE Manager 4 and previous, we always delivered the operating system bits as a part of SUSE Manager. And when we went to our Linux friends at SUSE and said, we don't want to tell our customers, oh, now you have to burn a SLES instance or some other operating system to be able to run SUSE Manager, what can we do? They're like, well, we can entitle your SUSE Manager customers to SLE Micro as a part of their SUSE Manager subscription. So You can run it on SLI Micro. It's fully supported and included.
Makes sense. So let's say SUSE Manager 5.0 was released. What are your plans for the future? Will there be 5.1 in the next future? Any ideas you want to share with our listeners?
Any features you have in your pipeline? Okay,
so 5.1 is intended to be released by mid next year.
Yeah.
Okay, we do still, but this is the process we follow. Okay, so we listen to customers. We have, for example, in my first year, I did more than 200 interviews to 56 different customers. Okay, so we get all this information, we put it together, we analyze it. We also go to the backlog, we review the backlog, we review all the issues that we have in GitHub and so on. So with all that information, we create like a map with trends, you know, with things that are more or less important for more than one customer. And with that, it's like, okay, we make the proposals. We put a list of proposals. This year we have a new product manager, Stefan Bellert. He's taking care of that. Once we build the list of proposals, we review it internally. Benjamin, Don, Stefan, and me, we review it. And then we share it initially with the engineering managers and the architect, Ricardo Mateo. So Ricardo then does like the initial evaluation of time and effort. Mm-hmm. So we fit the amount of work in the time that we have available with the effort that we have available.
Yeah.
So we don't want to do something crazy of adding something that is out of boundaries or that is going to make the engineers crazy. We want to be reasonable. Once we do that, we take it to the engineering team. So they say, oh, that sounds feasible. And then once the engineering team goes through that, then we take it to the whole company and we even share it externally with some people to get feedback. Or what are we missing? Did we have a blind spot or something like that? And then we have the team meeting, the planning meeting, which this year is going to be in September. So around September 15th, 16th, we're going to meet. We're going to review all the feedback that we got, and we're going to put the seal of approval and say, okay, this is ready to go. Okay. So things that are coming, and I think you're going to like this, Christian. It's proposed, okay? It has to be accepted, so it could change. But we want to be able to connect to AWX and run some of the content in AWX from SUSE Manager.
This is nice.
And we want to be able to provide a dynamic inventory for AWX. So these two things are in the list. They, of course, we have to go through them and check if they go through, but they are in the list. Another thing that is in the list, which is pretty interesting, is that we want to, when you go to SALT and you go to the SALT formulas, we want to add there a button that you click and it shows you a way to put a GitHub repo. Mm-hmm. So you can clone a GitHub repo and make it a SALT formula and providing an example for that so that anybody could clone that repo and then make the changes, adapt it to their needs, and then it's like, okay, import. And you import that GitHub repository, and it becomes a formula available in SUSE Manager for you to use. Those are two of the features. May I mention the third one? Sure, yes, Don.
Go for it.
Okay. The third one is the most difficult one. Okay, and when I was thinking, this is not possible. I want this so hard. But this is not possible. And one of our biggest...
Puppet integration, right? Puppet integration.
Puppet.
It's about Chef.
How about CF Engine? I have CF Engine. Waiting for CF Engine.
CF Engine is in the pipeline. But no, this one is something that I thought it was not going to be possible. And Ricardo took a stab at it and he came back. It's like, I think we could do it. How? And he explained it to me. It's like, wow, that's brilliant. So we want to have proper role-based access control.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a customer that is asking, and it's a very big customer. So they want to provide to operators access to SUSE Manager read-only. Mm-hmm. So they can access all the information in SUSE Manager the same way they do, and they also can start learning on
schedule
how to use
updates or other operations.
Yes, very little operations. So initially they want read-only, So the initial goal is to have a read-only user so that someone can get in there, see all the information, and then just... also, this is interesting for security teams that want to see the CVEs that are affecting the systems. So they could get in there, having read-only access, being able to check all the information, get the CVEs, and that would be it. So these are the three main features that are in the list. Again, not planned yet, but in the list. We have to follow the process I just described, and then if everything goes okay and we put the seal of approval to it, then we will be starting working on those, plus a lot of minor features with less impact, but also very important. And we have allocated some extra effort to clean up technical debt. Mm-hmm. We really want to clean up SUSE Manager. As you see, we are removing things. We are cleaning it up. We're making it more lean. We'll allocate some effort, time and effort, which, I mean, to me, is the two things that is like, you cannot extend this. They're not elastic, okay? So we have sometimes some effort available, and even you can have a peak sometime, you have to have a valley some other time, so people can have a proper life and enjoy the job and not be suffering.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, how many engineers do we currently have working on SUMA?
So the whole SUMA team, we are 46, and we have an opening. Anybody who wants to work as an engineer in SUMA with a special focus on security, we have an opening. So we'll be welcoming resumes.
Yeah.
So 46, including myself, because I'm part of the team, of course. And out of that, the product management team is 4. There's 1 product owner, and the rest is the architect or quality engineering or engineering teams or engineering managers.
Nice. Also, everything you told us the last few minutes sounds great. For the one reason, SUMA loves to be orchestrated. SUMA doesn't want to be an orchestration tool, but it loves to be orchestrated. And AWX is an orchestration tool. So native integration will be, I think, a huge step forward to integrate into many infrastructures. And on the other hand, having there the salt code integrated directly into the GUI, it will, yeah, take this orchestration steps a step further, because is it planned to just execute the salt you load into the SUMA with AWX or something from outside, so you can just orchestrate all your Linux servers with salt with the orchestration tool from great perspective.
I'm trying to think about how would I do it, and I cannot figure it out right now, but I think that that should be more or less possible once we have the proper integrations. And the second part to this is that seeing SUMA as a component is something that we have also done. And there's another engineering principle that we're following, which is API first.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
API first. So everything goes to the API first. And also we want to modernize the UI. Part of the technical dev is going to modernize the UI. Initially bringing it to Boost and TypeScript, if I recall correctly, and then I'm making it connect to the same API that everything goes, so that we can test only the API, and that would be good for functionality. And then we can test, because the tests for UIs are so slow, so slow. So if we could decouple them, it would be a great improvement for us. So the API first is paying some, yielding some benefits. That, like, for example, we talked to the Trento team. Trento is a tool to manage SAP, so they can check your configuration. They can do a lot of health checks, but
they have SAP cluster awareness.
Yeah, also. They have SAP cluster awareness, NetWeaver cluster awareness. So there's like a lot of intelligence in there, but this is more or less read-only. They cannot really change things in systems. And it's like, we are the opposite. We can change everything. So, so we talked to them. We set up a system for them in their lab, and we connected to their own their machines. So they connected to the API, and then it's like, we spent some time with them telling them, okay, this is how you get the CVEs. This is how you get the you run the patches.
And yes. We never saw that.
We're like, we can do the heavy lifting. So they have started working on that. I mean, I'm not the product manager for Trento, but I know that they are working on that, on being able to run things like, for example, upgrade a whole cluster. Mm-hmm. That is in their ideas. I'm not saying that this is the plan, but I'm saying that it's one of the ideas. And another thing that has happened too, and again, this is like very few people know about this, is that we have done same thing with Rancher, with the Rancher mm-hmm. team. And we did some prototyping. So it's not in the roadmap at all. But we, just to see if we could do it, we did some prototyping to do a Rancher, to have a Rancher extension in which it shows the, again, the CVEs of the nodes in Rancher, and you could even patch the nodes.
Trigger from, patch. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's nice.
So it's a prototyping. We are discussing with the product management for Rancher. And of course, it's their decision, it's their planning, it's their roadmap. But we want to help in those directions. And if we can find anybody else that is interested in integrating this way with SUSE Manager, of course, we are all ears.
Yeah, great. I think it's a good idea to go for API first, because it enables people to have their proper third-party integration if they want to. So if somebody wants to write a Go library for dealing with the API, it's documented. People can do this. If someone wants to do this in Rust or Python, go ahead, have fun.
Or even write simple bash scripts and orchestrate them with Rundeck.
Yeah, or just do the proper sudo bash curl thing. So that's also possible. But you will make people cry.
Or, as some of our customers have asked, be able to take my change management database and use that then to do API calls to SUSE Manager to execute. So yeah, those are things that the API helps to open the doors to. And we're content to be the infrastructure under the infrastructure.
Yeah,
I mean, that's totally fine, because creating those dependents, they're still paying subscriptions, you know. And fundamentally, at its lowest level, managing repositories in a very controlled and granular way is like the lowest common denominator of value for SUSE Manager. We have some customer that's all they're doing with it. And then they come to us and say, we're really sad that we're only using it this way, because we see so many other things we could potentially do with this thing. But I think, like Miguel said, just to augment that with a couple of other ideas, we're targeting 5.1 to be more of a refining and cleanup release, mm-hmm. because 5.0 was a pretty big pill to swallow for a lot of our customers. So we're not trying to, you know, 5.1 will not be the release where you'll see SUSE Manager in Rancher Marketplace. It's not going to be Kubernetes ready yet. There's a ton of work that would have to be done to enable it that way, but there are some discussions about what are initial things we can split out of that one giant container, like the database or the salt master. Those are two of the discussions. Some of the other code is so Java entangled, mm-hmm. it makes it very challenging, and we would have to dedicate some very senior SUSE Manager engineering with a lot of time to be able to get there. So we're just kind of taking a refining break with 5.1 and maybe target some of those more aggressive changes for later releases.
I mean, it's okay for the most customers, I think. So it's an MVP. So you have one container image that just works. And I think a lot of customers won't think about that much, whether it's one image or a set of 5 or 6 container images they are
well,
running.
It's very funny, because we have completely disparate reactions between the beta customers.
Really?
So okay. We have some beta customers who are like, "You're forcing me to learn containers." And I wanted to say to them, yes, just like we forced you to learn System D, get over yourself.
Yeah.
Okay? You're going to have to figure this out. But we do it in a way that's not incredibly difficult. It's still a single system, managing services launched by System D controls. That part hasn't changed. How we're delivering the software itself has changed pretty dramatically.
Plus, this is probably the smoothest path to containers.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. For any system administrator, it would take them like, 1 week, 2 days to get used to this. And also when they start building their own images, they're going to go like, hey, this is interesting, you know. They will see all the benefits of running images and being able to first allocate the logic and data in separate places, and second, to have better control on dependencies and not getting into dependency hell for running two different things on the same system. So,
I mean, it's kind of boring. I was prepared for having to take a couple of hours to write manually a Docker Compose file dealing with overlay file system types and all the ugly stuff, and it's just running one comment. So I was a little bit annoyed that it was that easy.
we actually had one of our support engineers that tried mapping a separate volume himself for all of the 26 volumes that MGR ADM creates in one swoop. And he ended up hurting himself in many ways. Yes, you can poke yourself in the eye with that stick, but I really wouldn't recommend you do that.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've tried to make it simple, and that simplicity has also turned out to be a boon in terms of resilience and hopefully for ease of use for our customers.
And the word Podman, I think in the whole installation process, just appears at one time when you start the installation with MGR CTL Podman install.
ADM
is a CTL install. Thank you.
And the idea is that you will use MGR ADM K3S or Kubernetes install later.
So there will be different targets. Yeah, right.
That's the reason why it's called out like
that. Yeah, and so it's that one bash command you have to execute, and that's the only way Podman appears.
Word. And the login, the rest. Podman login.
Yes.
If you're not using the image, you have to do Podman.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But what I want to say is it's really easy. You don't have to care about what container image, what container registry I have to use. Do I have to use C groups or what the fuck? What is this? No, it's just easy. It's everything automated within the process for installing it with just a few commands.
Yeah. So the complications, I mean, obviously our storage and networking, besides the abstraction part for the processes. So we've really hidden those complexities for both networking and storage in this infrastructure for SUSE Manager 5.0.
Definitely. So maybe one last question regarding the code difference. As you mentioned, traditional clients have been removed, and I think that it's a good opportunity.
More than 20,000 lines of code removed.
Okay, you exactly know what I wanted to ask you. More than 20,000 lines of code, that's a lot. So
yeah.
That must be a very good feeling to finally hit the Git RM and Git commit button, right?
Well, I have to ask the engineer. It's when I saw the comment, like, I mean, last year we did a bit of a cleanup and I saw something like 2,600 files removed already.
Wow.
But this time when I saw the 20,000, it was like, wow.
That's a lot.
And it's like less things that could pose a threat, less things that could have a bug, less things that you have to test and maintain. So we are also creating space in our time and effort to be able to invest it in new things rather than keeping the old things that are there running when they are not needed. Okay.
Were you scared or happy when you saw those pull requests?
The thing is that when I started engaging more and more with the engineers, I also, at what point in time I told them, what can we clean? What can we remove from SUSE Manager? And they look at each other like, is this a trick question? Like, no, it is not really. Yes. And if there's an issue, well, I will deal with the customer. I will listen to them. And if we have to bring it back, we'll bring it back. But we have to clean up the house. And they were like, this is awesome. And they were like, oh, this is great. We finally can remove
them. You were definitely happy,
yeah,
not scared.
So yeah, it was a very happy cleanup. You know, we really needed to do some cleaning. I've said this a lot of times. I see Susamana as one of those nice old houses, yeah, that has very solid foundations, that has these stone walls that are so neat with the green growing on top of them. But you get in and the electricity system is like, oh my God, I don't know if I should plug my laptop here. Yeah. So we need to remove that electricity system, put a new one that is modern, but we want to keep the foundations and the nice walls and the nice roof and the nice corridor and the nice
windows. I could tell you that my house was built in 1901.
Yeah.
So wow. And you are never done remodeling.
So it's like running SLE 8 and SUSE Manager 2.1, right?
Don't take me back there. there's some things about my house I'd rather not go back to either.
No, but again, there's a balance between the maturity that we have for some certain things that are very delicate in the infrastructure and the innovation we want to bring. And the team is a reflection of that balance. We have people in the team, Michael Andres, Michael Kalmer. They have been in the company for more than 20 years.
Johannes.
There's people in the team has been in the company for, again, and they will never go to another company. They are happy in this company. They love this company, and they teach you to love this company, you know? And we need these people in the team. And we also have other people who have joined more recently that come with fresh ideas. They want to try. You probably met Cedric Bostonat.
Yes.
He's here, or Jan. I mean, they are bringing new things, like, for example, the upstreams, or Cedric with the containerization. They're happy to do that. And they join these new initiatives. So we are combining all of this so that we bring a product that is bringing new features, but keeping all that maturity that is very much valued. So with like to think that quality is a feature. So if we provide better quality, customers will be happier and they will want to stay longer with us.
Definitely. So are there any news from the community you want to share with our listeners? Anything new going on in the background?
Well, in the community, now we have images, so more people testing. And there's one thing I need to say. There's one thing, and I think you two are going to love it, which is, you know, the manager, DM, manager, CTL? Mm-hmm. Okay, they are in their own repository.
Oh.
And there's a reason for that. We want you to hack it.
Yeah.
We want you to modify it. We want you to share the pull request. So you download that. Everything's written in Go. So you generate like two binaries. There's even a script there to build the binaries. Mm-hmm. So we're making it as easy as possible to, again, to go git clone. You get your clone of the system. You start playing with it. You rebuild it. You play with your own builds. And you check, oh, I need a list with this. And I need it with that. And I need it with this type of. So we really want to have community and to reduce the barrier of entry to start doing things with SUSE Manager. Doing it in the manager itself is complicated because first is Java, it's a huge amount of code. But again, if we go API first and we have the tools to connect to the API and do whatever is needed, then we are opening a whole new door to people contributing to Ujuni. So we hope that this works and we are doing it with the best intentions. So we enlarge the community, and especially we serve users that are using it every day with a tool that they can modify. And of course, pull requests are welcomed, and we will be happy to review them and to integrate them in the tooling.
Great. It makes things easier, because I remember when you want to add some functionality to, let's say, SpaceSIMD, it's part of the Ujuni repository and it's part of the pre-compiled Ujuni repository. So you can not run it on, let's say, Fedora or another Linux distribution. So you need to get the source code, get it running with all those Python dependencies. And now you have a single repository in run your Go commands.
So Ujuni tools, by the way.
You're right. Ujuni tools. Yeah. So it makes things a lot of easier.
Especially for me, I'm definitely not a programmer. I learned a bit about object orientation programming, but it's not very much, and so it will be for me a possible entry barrier to overcome this and can contribute at all, because Space CMD, I saw the code, I give up.
That's great.
You should try COBOL then, I think.
Yeah, oh boy. Yeah, no.
Windows 3.11 is also... Not.
That's okay. I can give you some documentation about this. just give me a ping. But I don't have any about COBOL.
No COBOL experience, huh?
No, I mean, let's do this. If you're willing to give it a go, I will send you a book to Programming Go.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Have we got a deal?
That's I think deal. We have a deal.
Then I need an address to send the book.
So pun intended with go with it. So
Okay. Well, nice. One thing too about the community edition Uyuni is that next month, with releases next month and following, only the containerized version of Uyuni will be supported going forward. So we're taking that leap, not just with SUSE Manager, but with the upstream code as well. And again, because it's an open source tool and you can't call us anyhow. So try running it on your other Podman sources and see what the feedback is. Give us, you know, we're very happy to receive comment and people trying things out. And I have usually at least once a year community related conference where I speak about, and I usually talk about Uyuni and our containerization process and those types of things, and almost universally I get very positive feedback. I don't know why there aren't more tools. Like, I didn't even know this was out there, or you know, I didn't know you guys supported so many different Linux distributions. So It's great to be part of that. So
I want to give a shout out to Marina, Raul, and Julio, who are always there with taking care of the community. Of course, the whole team is there, but they do some tiny extra effort to take always. And they always keep me on my toes, like Miguel, the community, Uyuni, have to do this for Uyuni. We need this for Uyuni. So, and it's good. I shouldn't say this out loud, but it will keep coming. But no, but it's good that it keeps coming and that they care so much for the community. As I say, the whole team cares for the community. These three people are probably the most visible faces out there. But and also we are reaching out to Salt, to the teams in Salt, to keep contacting them, because there's been quite some changes, but we're keeping up with all the changes to keep a good connection to the SALT team. And so far it's been good. We have had quite some success in reaching out to the SALT engineering team. So community-wise, I think we are doing good. We would like to do better. We're doing all that we can to do better. And yeah, it's of course a very important part of all that we do.
So I think we all should check it out under github.com/uni-project, and I think from there we can access everything we discussed. So
I need also to ask Christian, are you going to try also to hack on the Uni tools?
I will definitely have a look at it. So
okay. I have to send two books, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Two books.
Go ahead. Yeah. So I tried to getting started and use with Go, I think 2 years ago. And I'm a really lousy programmer. So I can do some Python, I can do some Ansible, and so on. It's okay. It gets the job done. It ain't much, but it's honest work. So, and the problem with Go is that it's really about things like pointers and addresses. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So if you have a book that explains this like to a child and it helps me, then yeah, why not?
I think I get that book that can explain me this for...
Like a
child, so
yeah.
Okay, so I will find the
Go for Dummies.
For Dummies.
Go for Dummies.
Exactly. It has to stand on the cover for Dummies, otherwise I can't read it.
Okay. Uni project contribution for Dummies.
Wow, who's gonna write that one? I don't know.
Okay, noted. Okay.
Okay, so we'll be definitely putting the link to the GitHub in the show notes. And it has been a pleasure working with the community. So I try to contribute from time to time, and I think I contributed two or three things to the Uyuni documentation. I just saw that one of my contributions made it to the SUSE Manager 5.0 documentation.
Nice. Thank you.
So you're welcome. So maybe somebody will like this. And yeah, it's quite easy to get started with the community. I really like it.
And another shout out to Joseph and the documentation part of the team. I mean, they have had a tremendous task of lifting up documentation that was aging and making it more modern. And there's going to be announcements. I cannot say anything yet, but there's going to be announcements tomorrow around documentation.
Ah, great.
Okay, so don't miss the keynote.
Yeah. So I have attended the two talks yesterday about documentation, and it was really valuable to get all the details why the decision was made and how all those tools fit together. And I really like that it's a single repository where you have both the OUNI and the SUSE Manager documentation. So people only have to contribute once, and it will be part of SUSE Manager and OUNI. So users can use it in both ways.
Okay. Awesome.
It has been a pleasure talking to you. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I will shout out to all the team. So I'm missing a lot of people who are contributing, and I'm really proud of this team. I'm really proud to be part of this team and that they have put some trust in me when I joined and made me part of it. So, I mean, we talked last year when I was like 6 months in the role.
Yeah.
It's a year and a half, and I really feel part of this team, and I really want to thank the whole team for receiving me like this and for doing such a nice job. So I really like working here.
Great. What about you, Dan?
Great. Well, I've been blessed to be part of this team as I was an outsider for a long time, until I became product manager. So I'd sort of earned my street creds with some of these guys ahead of time. But, you know, like Miguel said, we are a very strong team, and we hope that maturity in the product doesn't mean we're like a creaking old man. And being the oldest member of the team, I hear the dinosaurs behind me. So I'm very quick to try to jump on the newer stuff and just to see how we've been able to pull together and deliver on this. I'm very proud of our team and of what we're delivering with SUSE Manager.
That's awesome. We should reconnect next year, and maybe this will be the first year we don't have thunder and rain around us when we try to
record.
Don't
count on it.
Don't count
on it. Did I say we have an opening in the team?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much for having us here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for your time, and enjoy the rest of SUSECon.
Let's make this a tradition, okay?
Definitely.
We have to be lovely.
Yeah. Next SUSECon with rain and thunder.
How do you beat a hallway? Right? I don't know. You know, what do you do?
We'll have to figure out.
We try to figure
with
out.
With a security guy going through. That was just too much. Wow.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Thanks. Bye.